You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig, and we welcome you to this another Way of Truth broadcast. We open our broadcast service with Brother Ralph Craig singing for us, Seeking for Me.
Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, seeking for me, seeking for me. Oh, yes, seeking for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, seeking for me. Jesus, my Savior, on Calvary's tree, paid the great debt, and my soul He set free. Oh, it is wonderful, how could it be? Dying for me, dying for me, oh yes, dying for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, dying for me. Jesus, my Savior, the same as of old, while I was wandering afar from the fold, gently and long did He plead with my soul, calling for me, calling for me. Oh, yes, calling for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, calling for me. Jesus, my Savior, shall come from on high. Sweet is the promise as weary years fly. Oh, I shall see Him descending the sky, coming for me, coming for me. Oh, yes, coming for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, coming for me, coming for me. Oh, yes, coming for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, coming for me.
Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for all of Your rich blessings to us. We do thank You for calling us out of a life of sin into the way of righteousness. We know that this is because of Your love and because of the gift of Your dear Son. And so we give You thanks and we give You praise. We thank You for this precious congregation today, and we're trusting that as our service goes forth, it will be accompanied by the Holy Spirit and make it a blessing to each and to every soul. Now You see our congregation, You know their burdens and cares and concerns, and we're asking You to minister to each and to every one. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. At this point in our broadcast, we'd like to invite you to visit our webpage. There you will find a number of our broadcasts, along with other services, that you may listen to at any time at your convenience. You may also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, as it is posted on the Internet. Also, you can join us in our services on Sunday. Our morning worship service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening worship service begins at 6, and that's Eastern Time. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org.
Then she met the
Our subject for today's broadcast, What the Lord Requires. And our text of scripture is taken out of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all of thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good. There are requirements connected with serving the Lord. I realize that in the religious world today, the thought seems to prevail in many circles that the Lord really doesn't require anything of you. Just take on a religious cloak and you're headed for heaven. But I repeat, there are requirements connected with serving the Lord. And I'd like for you to look with me at some of the requirements as revealed in our text of Scripture. First of all, let us notice what follows is what the Lord thy God requires, not what some denomination or some sect nor some religious cult leader, but what the Lord requires. And the first thing we notice is to fear the Lord thy God. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. To the writing of books there is no end. Study is a weariness to the bones. So Solomon said, let us come to the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So God does require us to love him, to fear the Lord thy God. And to fear God means that you have a deep respect, a reverence, and you stand in awe of him. Stand in awe of God, fear God, keep his commandments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1 and 7. Also, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. It is the fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. So the very beginning of wisdom is to fear God. And when we speak about fearing God, we're not talking about someone sitting on a throne somewhere with a club in his hand, ready to club you over the head. No, that's not the kind of fear that we're talking about. Again, when we talk about fearing God, we're talking about having a deep respect, a reverence for him. Esau was called a profane person because he did not respect, he did not regard holy things. So we are to fear God. God is the one who has given us life, breath, yea, and all things. Whether the world wants to believe it or not, God is the creator of this world. And God created us. He formed us. And he gives us life. And those of us who are children of God, he not only has given us physical life, but he has given us spiritual life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So we are to fear God. And remember now, these are the requirements of the Lord. They are not the requirements of this broadcast or some denomination or some sectarian leader. No, these are the requirements of the Lord God Almighty. I am God, and besides me, there is none other. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now the second point, to walk in his ways. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. The proud and the haughty cannot walk with God. You must be lowly. You must have a meek and a quiet spirit, And you must have that deep reverence for Almighty God to be able to walk with God. Walk in His ways. Now, God does have a way. In the Scriptures, it is called, in Isaiah, the way of holiness. In the Sermon on the Mount, it is called the narrow way. And we are to walk in His way. And if we walk in His way, we will obey His word. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if we walk in the Spirit, let us also live in the Spirit. And if we are living in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They that live after the flesh shall die, but they who through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, they shall live." And so Micah records for us that the Lord requires us to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. That's the only way that you can walk with God. And after all, what do we have to be proud and puffed up about? Again, every good and every perfect gift comes from God, including the very life that we have. We read in Paul's writings to the Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 16, "This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. And you cannot walk in both at the same time." Just as Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters." This idea that you can live in sin and be a Christian is contrary. It is foreign to the teachings of the Word of God. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Again, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Therefore we read in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path." So it's not in man, it's not in himself, to walk as God would have us to walk. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. But God knows the way that he would have us to go. And if we will trust in him with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, he will direct us in his way." Now the next point I want to call your attention to in what God requires, as recorded here in Deuteronomy 10, 12, and 13, to love him. Love, possibly, is spoken of more in the Bible than any other subject. God is love. Not just that God loves people, but God is love. And it is his love shed abroad in our hearts that enables us to love him and to love others, including our very enemies. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. We would not have the capacity, we would not have the ability to love God if it had not have been that he loved us first. We know that God loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. Thank God for that love that brought Jesus into this world to be our Savior, to be our Lord, to be our Redeemer. And through the Holy Spirit, that love, the love of God, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now this love, this is love, that we walk after the commandments, according to the Apostle John in John chapter, in 2 John verse 6. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. I've said many times, the only ones who are really serving God are those that love him. And these words of the Apostle John back up that statement. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. Serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now a quote from Adam Clark. Give him that worship which he requires, performing it with all your heart, the whole of your affections, and with all your soul. That's Clark's comments in regard to the statement, serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Again, I'll read Clark's quote, or quote from Clark. Give him that worship which he requires, performing it with all your heart, the whole of your affection, and with all your soul. Serve him. Be a vessel, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Yes, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And again, Jesus said, we cannot serve two masters. So we're either serving God or we're serving Satan, one or the other. And thank God, I choose to serve the true and the living God, and through His dear Son, He has made it possible for me to serve Him. So serve Him, be a vessel, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Now, this next point in our text, keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. That's the 13th verse of our text today. And notice the very last three words of this verse. For thy good. Keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. And beloved, if we will keep the commandments of the Lord, obey His statutes, carry out His will, and obey His commands, it will indeed be for our good. And I should not have to labor that point very long, for as you look around you in the world today, and you see the heartache, the misery, the woe that is there, because people are not keeping the commandments of the Lord, they're not obeying His statutes, they don't love Him, and they're not obeying Him, and we have this curse on the earth, this sin, cursed world, wickedness on every hand. I tell you, sometimes you think, well, I've heard everything, I'll not be surprised at anything else. And then here comes something else along that surprises you. The wickedness, the ungodliness, the evil that is in the world today is in the world today because of the disobedience to the commands of Almighty God. If we were to obey God's commands as a people, what a different world we would have to live in. For the statutes of the Lord are right, and they are for our good. All the commandments of the Lord are for our good, not just those found in our text today, but all of the commandments of the Lord are for our good. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. It is the way of the transgressor that is hard. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And so, beloved, keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. The world is filled, I say, with heartache, with suffering, with evil and ungodliness because they are not keeping the commandments of the Lord. They're not obeying His statutes. And again, these requirements are the Lord's, not some man or some religious order, but the Almighty God, of whom it is said, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. Yes, every one of us are going to have to stand before the judgment bar of God. God has appointed a day in which He shall judge the world by that man that He hath ordained. So Paul tells us in Acts 17, every one of us have an appointment with death, but that does not end at all. After death comes the judgment. And beloved, the agnostic, the infidel, the unbeliever will be there along with the saints. Just because they deny God's existence now does not change the fact that when the time comes, They will stand before the judge and give an account of their life. We are told in the book of Matthew chapter 25 that whenever Christ comes, he's going to separate the good from the bad, even as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And those on the left-hand side shall hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Those on the right-hand side will hear the Lord say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And so there is a judgment coming, and we're going to be accountable for the life that we live in this time world. The wonderful and marvelous truth is that if today you are outside the fold of God, if today you are breaking the law of commandments of the Lord, you can repent of your ways. You can come to the Lord with a broken and a contrite heart and ask the Lord to forgive you, and he is faithful and just to do so, and he'll wipe all of your sins out of his remembrance to remember them against you forever no more, and you'll not face one of them at the judgment bar of God. Could I encourage anyone listening to our broadcast service today who is not saved to seek the Lord, have your sins forgiven, and your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that whenever you stand before the Lord in judgment, you will hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these scriptures and thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our postal address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21740, USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21740, USA. Now our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. Again, you can listen to a number of our broadcasts, and also you can join us in our Sunday services 20 minutes before 11 in the morning and 6 o'clock in the evening, and that's Eastern Time. www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin E. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast. We invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Great is my joy.